Good morning. It's a sunny morning, Linda Perkins.
Can you believe it?
It's so fabulous. I hope all of you have a moment to get outside and get some of that on you. It's sun.
Yeah, we were just talking about it, how it's kind of weird because the sun's at such a low angle. But I think we just never have sunny days this time of year, so we don't get to see that the sun is at a low angle.
It's pretty exciting, I gotta say. And by the way, welcome to Food Talk. I'm Marianne Myers, and I am joined by my fabulous co-host, Linda Perkins. Good morning, officially, Linda.
Good morning. I got my apron on.
You do. It's very nice, too.
Yeah, it's green because I'm making split pea soup today.
Oh, yeah.
That's very wintry.
Yes, and good for split pea spills to have a green apron.
Yes. You'd never know.
You will never know. No need to wash that apron.
In case I stir vigorously.
Hey, you and I both survived holidays. I hope everybody did.
Yes, yes. It's nice. It just feels a lot more relaxed now,
yeah.
Which I enjoy.
Yes. And even if we're all really, really busy, we're not, spinning like you do during the holidays.
Yeah.
That long wind up from Halloween through New Year's is
yes.
pretty
it's brutal.
It's exhausting. It's nice to be here on a sunny day with nothing oppressing to worry about.
Yeah. What will I do for Arbor Day? That doesn't stress me out.
I haven't shopped. I feel terrible.
Get thee to the nursery.
Well, I mean, we are still cooking because, holidays or no, we still have to eat.
Yes, yes.
So I wonder what you've been cooking.
Well, let's see. I made some chicken tortilla soup.
Ooh, yum. That's one of my favorites. I think of all the possible chicken soups, and there's a zillion of them. That's just got to be in my top three.
Well, mine was horrible.
Oh, gosh. Glad I wasn't there. What happened?
Well, let me ask you a question. Have you ever noticed how cumin starts with C-U?
Yes.
Very, very, very much in the way that curry does.
Yeah.
And that the lowercase double R looks a lot like an M.
Oh, my gosh.
So, and I swear this is all related. We had a cougar in our yard. So, long story short, I had the dogs out at night. I had a flashlight. I shined it up, all the way back up the hill into the backyard, inside the fence. And there was a deer laying down. And I thought, that's a lot lighter and yellower than deers normally are. But, my considerable intellect, I'm like, oh, well. And so then the dogs raced up there and it ran away, but it didn't run away like doink, doink, like a deer. It kind of looked like somebody was pulling it in a wagon.
Uh-huh.
And so what I thought was stupid deer, right? Well, then the next morning, a neighbor called, said people had been seeing a cougar in the neighborhood. I didn't think anything. And then like 2 hours later, because of my throbbing intellect, I was like, oh, that was a cougar. And everything makes sense that was a cougar. So then I'm making the tortilla soup, chicken tortilla soup, and I made it, and it was kind of dull. And a lot of times that happens, right?
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, I'll add more paprika. I did. I'll add more cumin. So I sprinkled the cumin in, and I thought, that's a lot lighter and yellower than cumin normally is. And so that's like the theme of the week. And so, again, my throbbing intellect, I just stirred it,
Yeah.
And then, oh, that was curry.
Oh.
And so I'd already stirred it in, and I bet I'd used, it was a big pot, but I'd used a couple tablespoons, and curry goes a long way.
Oh, man, that's a lot of curry.
So I thought, well, I started adding, Mexican-type spices, and it just, nothing. It was just curry, And then I thought, well, I could make it really hot so that, you're slapped in the face and then you couldn't taste the curry, But it's just not pleasant, And we have to eat it. And so then I just kept adding spices and spices and spices. And finally, when you add way too many dry spices, it gets really muddy.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Dull and just murky,
Yeah.
And so that happened. I'm just like, ugh. No fixing this. And I just felt so stupid. And it was just so funny that there were like two really consequential mistakes in that week that my thoughts were, that's just a lot lighter and yellower than it should be,
It was your brain trying to snap you out of it. Excuse me, I just wanted to call your attention to this.
Here's a big clue, Linda. Shut up.
Oh, my gosh.
No, I'm right.
It's so discouraging to have a vat of something that isn't
good. Oh, I
good.
Know. And it was a big pot. So depressing. Oh. Ugh. And then it's like the second vat of soup I've wrecked in like a month because I made some chicken wild rice. And then Dale had to go to urgent care. And then they sent us over to emergency room. He was fine and it wasn't anything big. But because it wasn't anything big, he was like number 187 on the list. And yeah. we were there for like 8 hours. And so the soup sat out that long. And you can't, you know, yeah. serve that. So I had to throw that away. So at least I knew how to throw it away.
That's excellent. That's really excellent. And the compound tragedy of the whole thing is that when we end up adding another $20 worth of stuff
yes,
trying to
yes,
fix something
yes.
that's going to, you know, suffer a horrible fate.
There's nothing you can do.
There is nothing you can do. Hey, I got a new appliance.
Oh, really?
Yes. I mean, not a major appliance.
But still,
I'm pretty excited about it. My toaster oven, which I use a toaster oven
you do.
A lot.
Yeah.
It's amazing that, you know, I toast something at least every day for breakfast.
Well, I remember, I mean, you're the one that turned me on to cutting muffins in half and putting them in the toaster oven. I mean, that's delicious.
Yeah. Oh, it's really
And it's such
good.
A simple thing to do.
It's really good. Anyway, my old one, which was bona fide old, started doing some alarming things. Like I would say to Tom, do you smell something smells like hot wires?
Oh, gosh.
And then this rusted ring sort of thing appeared on the outside top of the thing. And then I was like, you know what? I don't think I should use the toaster oven anymore.
Safe.
And so I did a little research about getting a new toaster oven because I expect things to last longer than me.
Yeah.
And so I got the one that was most highly recommended, and it is multifunctional. First of all, it has a convection oven.
Oh, that's really nice.
And holds two racks. It's bigger. It holds two racks that can pull out automatically when you open the door.
So wow.
Yeah, I know. And it has an air fryer.
Oh, that's so great.
It's partly an air fryer, and its reviews said it was the best one for all of those
But that's uses. So great because my major problem with an air fryer is I don't want it to take up the 20% of my counter space that I have,
yeah.
you know, because I'm just not going to
I don't want another piece
haul
of thing.
It back and forth. Yeah,
yeah. I just don't.
But it just takes up the room that your toaster oven normally would.
Yeah, it's a little bit bigger than my toaster oven, but also I've used it so far just for toasting, baking, and broiling. It works great so far. And I do not have a convection oven in my big oven.
Oh, that's so
great.
Nice. Well, and I remember my parents who just always refused to fix anything that needed to be fixed. Their oven broke. So rather than fixing the oven, they bought one of those countertop ovens.
Oh, yeah.
I just don't understand how their brains worked. But that thing had convection and it worked great. It wasn't like it was like some kind of, you know, Barbie toy,
yeah.
you know, Barbie Malibu
yeah.
convection
oven.
Yeah, exactly. It worked great. So
yeah.
that's so cool. I didn't
I know
that there was something as multifunctional as that. I didn't know.
I didn't either.
So
I'm glad I read some things. And, you know, it's shiny.
Yes. And I'm like a crow. Ooh, shiny.
Ooh, shiny.
Well, my brothers and I spent, when we were teenagers and living at home, we spent one whole summer trying to come up with absolutes, things that were always true, no matter. We couldn't think of a single exception. And the only one we could come up with was, if you have the right tool, you can do the job better.
Oh, yeah.
And that's a tool.
Yeah.
Right on.
Adages. You guys, you could have written a book.
Well, that would have been a really short book.
Hey, you know what? I'm always happy. One of the happy things about winter is citrus season. But lately, the pears have been fabulous.
Really?
Yeah.
I have not been pear aware.
Oh, they've been really, really good. And
okay.
I found a recipe for a pear salad that has one of my other favorite ingredients, which is radicchio. I love bitter greens and chicories especially. And I'm going to try it because I've been eating pears lately just as pears, not as an ingredient.
I love pears and cottage cheese. It's such a
oh,
simple
yeah.
thing, but I love it.
Yeah. They're good. And they're good with everything. They're good in salads. They're good with meats. They're good in apple pear sauce. Pear butter. Yipes. Anyway.
It's funny because pear is a pretty delicate flavor. Mm-hmm. And when you're baking, it's hard to make sure that you don't overwhelm that with anything and still get the flavor. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like a finesse type thing.
What do you think are the best spices to put with that or other flavors?
Cardamom or almond. That's what I like.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Really good. I like those with a whole lot of things.
Yeah.
I'm thinking about braising some greens tonight. I'm on my own at home for the dinner hour, and braised greens are not Tom's absolute favorite, although he will have them.
If you put bacon with them, Dale will eat them.
Yeah. And I often do. Yeah. But I'm going to try a new recipe that's got some doenjang in it, some of that fermented soybean paste. And
nice.
And pears.
Oh, nice.
No, it no, doesn't sorry. Have pears. It's greens and beans.
I wasn't thinking when you said that, of course, that the spice would overwhelm the pear completely. Yeah,
yeah.
It would just be a thing, and it doesn't have the most awesome texture, so
yeah.
That would be nothing. So speaking of beans, you know, there's Italian recipes that have pasta and beans, like white beans or some
yes.
kind of white beans.
Yeah.
And those are things I really like, and I haven't made anything like that in at least a decade. And I was just thinking last night I should, you know, something with like a little bit of sausage and broccoli and pasta and
yeah.
and white
or,
beans.
Or, you know, pasta fazzule, the
yeah.
bean and pasta soup, really,
yeah.
really good this time of year. You,
yeah.
you obviously need some new soup because you've had to get rid of all your soup. Well, you're making split pea today.
God knows what's going to happen. They come in threes, don't they? No.
You know what I wish? I wish that some benevolent flavored oil manufacturer would start making really nice oils in little airplane size booze bottles.
Oh, yeah.
Because I like it, this pears and chicory salad combines olive oil and walnut oil. I love
oh, yeah.
walnut
yeah,
oil.
It's so expensive.
But it
goes bad.
The smallest, you have to keep it in the fridge.
Yeah.
And the smallest bottle of it is big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, too big.
Mm-hmm.
I just want one of those little airplane booze size bottles of
yeah.
walnut oil
yeah.
and all the oils.
Yeah. I think that you have to, like buying one, you have to have like things in your brain you're going to make,
yeah.
you know, and they're mostly salads with walnut oil.
Yeah,
yeah.
Definitely. Is there any baking thing that happens with walnut oil? Does it bake well? I don't even
you know.
Know.
I don't know. I've never tried baking with it, partly because it's so expensive.
Yeah.
And then it's so perishable. And so just the cost, and I haven't even thought. It hasn't
yeah.
been on my radar, seriously,
yeah.
for anything but salads.
I might break down and do it because wintertime nuts and things in salads are pretty common for winter
yeah.
salads.
Well, and it's just a treat, you know?
Yeah,
you can
I know.
Have treats.
And I keep them in, you know, they keep forever in the fridge,
yeah.
but they take up real estate in the fridge.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Well, and then sometimes when I get stuff like that, I'll split it with friends, you know? Because,
yeah.
like, for instance, when
yeah.
you could not get, okay, come on, brain, help, that chili paste, ugh, not sriracha. Sambal oleg, when you couldn't
okay.
get any, except they had like the gallon jugs
yeah,
at the,
yeah.
and so I bought a gallon jug and I'm like, here, you want a pint, want a pint, want a pint? I mean, I'm sure I emailed you.
I don't know if I got that, but I had some, I had some sambal already, so I was okayed. I survived that.
Yeah, I barely did.
The other thing about this salad that I have not done before, the combination of oils in the vinaigrette, olive and walnut, and then the vinegars, they combine red and balsamic vinegars.
Oh, okay.
So I'm interested in trying the dressing just for its own self.
Yeah. I wonder, I mean, olive oil is, if it's extra virgin olive oil, it has a flavor. I wonder if it's going to overpower the walnut oil.
I don't know. We're going to see.
All right. Good luck.
I guess we'll just find out. I'm going to go by the store on the way home and spend my $50 on walnut oil. And I'll report back later.
Oh, it's not quite 50.
I want to, it is quite 50% through Food Talk, so I want a quick quickly say to everyone that Food Talk is a co-production of KMUN Community Radio and North Coast Food Web. And do not forget KMUN.org and NorthCoastFoodWeb.org. You'll be glad you went there.
Yeah. Well, we got a smoked duck for Christmas.
Really?
Isn't that an interesting gift?
Yes, it is.
And I mean not the euphemism interesting, like, oh, your hair is interesting. Not like that. No, it was just a great gift.
Yeah.
And so when we first got it, oh my God, I can't believe I'm like fessing up to this. When we first got it, we were so hungry, and so I just like wax them off, we microwaved it, and then we ate it with like some microwave rice and some like quick vegetables, and we're like, this is so good. But then I made some duck fried rice.
Ooh.
And I really like duck fried rice. So I worked in a Chinese restaurant for many years. And otherwise, like, why would you know duck fried rice, or why would that be on your like favorites list? But it is. And it was just so nice. And the smoky flavor was really good.
Oh.
And so that was really nice. When I fry rice, that kind of rice, I use brown rice. I really like how the texture is, and I make sure that I use onions and broccoli and red cabbage, and then of course pea pods and those things. And there were other vegetables in there too, but that's like the base of all my fried rices, and it was really delicious to have. And then the fried rice might have been the third thing. The second thing I did is I took one side of the breast and seared it, and then in the pan I just made a pan sauce with some fig jam and dried cherries, and what else? Vinegar, a little bit of stock, and that was really delicious too. Salt, pepper.
Do you still have duck left?
No. I think it would be rotten duck at this point.
Oh, yeah.
No, but we ate it all. Between those three meals, we ate it all. But it was delicious. It was hard to cut. Not like tough, like getting the knife through, but like a turkey, you know how like if you're trying to do a turkey leg or a turkey thigh,
yeah,
it's like gristle city, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Finding chunks that not were edible, but just that you could get off successfully.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot harder to dissect than a chicken. But it was great, and it was just such a treat, you know.
That's a very thoughtful gift.
Yeah,
actually.
Yeah. And I was embarrassed of the microwave part, but it's just like, oh, we have this, and we're so hungry.
I'm just have to eat.
Bzzzt. Yeah. And it was much better when I seared it, of course, but it was still delicious when I microwaved it.
Yeah. Well, smoked meats.
Yeah.
Hard to beat. Smoked cheeses too.
Yeah. Hard That's to always beat a it. Mystery how they do that without melting it all.
Yeah, I know.
Alchemy, cheese alchemy.
That makes me think of fondue.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even have a fondue pot anymore. Not that you need one.
No.
You can make it work,
yeah.
You know, but I used to really like that.
Yeah. I remember as a kid, that was something that my parents would do as a treat. But I remember the pot was electric and there was the cord hanging off the table.
Oh.
And I had brothers that were, you know, toddlers. I mean, that was just stupid.
Yeah.
It was such a near disaster, you know.
I haven't made fondue in a million years. But when I was younger, like in my 20s, you know, fondue and Chablis,
yeah,
was very ultimate.
Yeah. Everybody.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
You know how butter has changed? I'm always like, oh, butter has changed.
Yeah. Some, you know, butter.
Yeah. Well, yeah. The butter I can afford. So I was thinking something else is different about it. And I think it has a lot less salt.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It tastes to me a lot less salty. And I just wanted to say that on the air, because if you keep your butter on the counter instead of in the fridge, that's an important thing, because the salt is what makes it okay to keep the butter on the counter.
Right.
It's what preserves it. And that's one reason that I use salted butter rather than unsalted butter in my baking, like many people do, because all my recipes have salt. I have a feel for how much salt is in there. And then also, there's just no chance that butter is going to go rancid, which would be very expensive.
Yes.
You know? So even if it's in the refrigerator, I mean, I always feel a lot safer having salted butter. But what did I make? Oh, I'm not going to remember at this point, but it just tasted really dull.
Oh.
And it wasn't the soup that I added the curry to. but I realized that...
Maybe that was the problem, not enough butter.
Yeah, it was a baked good. Oh, I know what it was. It was just some kind of shortbread cookie.
Okay.
And it tasted really dull. Oh. And you're like, how can a shortbread cookie taste dull? And I realized, because my whole entire life I've not added salt, because I use the salted butter, and I was using the salted butter, and it's just, I think it's much less salty.
Interesting. I haven't noticed it. But because I am only feeding two people, I buy expensive butter.
Good butter, yeah. I understand.
And cultured butter.
Yeah, yeah.
And I always buy salted butter, though, too. I never buy sweet butter. I don't bake as much as you do, certainly. And also, I can adjust, so I don't need two kinds of butter.
Yeah.
Look for it a little. Every once in a while, it's on special. I fill the freezer up with butter.
So smart.
Yeah. But, yeah, I remember you saying that, that butter had a whole lot more water
in it now. Yeah, it's very different. It's
so discouraging.
Yeah, I know.
It's so discouraging.
Welcome to the Wine About Baking Hour.
Okay.
Well, speaking of baking, King Arthur, they've come out with their recipe of the year.
Oh, yeah. What is it this year?
So it's focaccia.
Oh.
Yeah. So I had so hoped to be able to make it.
Yeah.
But it just came out 2 days ago. But I just didn't have time. But it's a recipe that, so it's focaccia. It's made in a weird size pan, 9x9. The only 9x9 pans I have are for baking. And so the thing is, it's baked at 475 degrees, so that's hot. And the only pans I have that are that size are nonstick, and I'm not comfortable putting a nonstick pan in there at 475.
Yeah.
Like it might turn into like molten lead and cancer. You know what I mean?
Yes.
So I just don't want that. But that's why I haven't made it. I think I'll like 1.5 it and get it in a 9x13. But the recipe, what's different about it is that they take it out of the pan and put it back in the oven.
Oh.
So like to brown it up and crisp it up. And that doesn't necessarily appeal to me.
I don't look for crispy with
or brown in focaccia.
No.
Yeah. And so that might be another reason that I'm hesitant to make it, because I don't, I want focaccia to be soft, and and they say it's tender in the middle, but I don't know if I want to bite through something to get that tender in the middle. You know, I can make a rustic bread if I want to do that. So there's that.
But it is their recipe of the year.
Yeah, and I really, really value them. You know, their recipes are good. They have, testers who really test. They don't just say they test, you know.
Yeah.
So it's employee owned. So I will try it, but I have to get a pan that won't kill my family.
Yeah, that's always ideal. Yeah. I think that's step one.
Yeah, and I'm not comfortable putting a glass or a ceramic pan in there at 475. Yeah, I'm just not, and maybe it would work.
Pyrex is good at that.
Yeah, but there's those two different kinds of Pyrex, and I don't know what kind I have, you know?
Yeah, and the other thing about the glass is that the bottoms of things brown differently in glass than they do.
Generally, that glass is not that good for baking.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right.
More whining about baking. Oh, we're scared of the recipe. Oh.
Well, we've learned a couple things today that we can all use. One is be sure you read your spice labels.
Oh, CU, exactly the same kind of container, you know, right next to each other. CU, cumin curry.
You would think that alphabetizing your spices would be a good thing.
But no, now we know.
Oh, my gosh.
And know your wildlife.
Yes, that's right. And listen to your better self. It's in there trying to talk to you. Gosh, we're full of good advice for the new year. I got to say, I would say that the other part of me from my better self is very bad at taking advice.
Yes.
I'm resistant. I put up a resistance.
Do you have any cooking New Year's resolutions?
Cook more.
Yeah.
And so the first grocery shopping I have done has been to be more efficient about my grocery shopping so that I don't have to go to the store as often and have something in the freezer that I can pull out in the morning and know that that's what we're going to have at night. It basically, I guess, the whole approach is to just be more cognizant of reality and not just be blithely confident that everything will be fine at 6:45.
Yeah.
So I'm trying that. We'll see. But the reason I'm doing some greens and beans tonight is because I have several kinds of greens that are really getting kind of grouchy about me. So
they're going to the vegetable hospice.
They're going in the pot tonight with beans. So I'm getting rid of some kale, some chard, some radicchio, some spinach. They're all going in with some white beans and some fermented chili paste.
Nice.
Yeah.
That'll be really good.
I think it will be.
Yeah.
It's my kind of dinner. Just a bowl of that would be fabulous. And because Tom's got, he has a standing Monday night date with a pool team. So I can do whatever I want.
Yeah. So I have, I thought about the year to come and I'm going to roast more vegetables. And I do roast vegetables, but I want to have them on hand because I really like them in rice and I really like them in soup. Not soup, sorry. Salad is the word I was trying to say, but soup apparently.
See, it's the whole spelling thing.
Yeah. It's alphabetical. But yeah, salads. I really like roasted vegetables and salad, and it makes me want to eat a salad a lot more. And then also mixed up with rice, and then just, you know, plain with some kind of dip. That's really, really good too, or just as a side dish.
Yeah.
But I just want to have them on hand so I can heat them up. And so kind of in the past, I've kind of felt like I'm roasting vegetables. I have to make event of it. I have to roast every vegetable, but I don't think I have to do that. I think I can just roast a couple kinds and then next time roast a couple other kinds. Does that make sense? And it won't be such an ordeal.
Do you have a secret for having them keep over? I tend to roast them when I want them because they get kind of withery in the fridge.
Okay.
You know, like they don't stay fresh.
Let's see.
Do you do anything?
I don't roast them super long. You know, they're still pretty crunchy.
Okay.
And I roast them pretty high, 425, 450 on the convection roast setting.
Okay.
So that they get lots of brown on them because I really like that.
Me too. And I haven't had the benefit of a convection before.
Okay.
But now I have it.
Yeah.
So I'll try that.
Yeah.
Because I really do too. I like roast veg so much.
Yeah. And they're really good in things, and they make a really ordinary thing seem a lot more special.
Yeah. I think that roasted carrots are one of the best things ever.
Dale does, too.
They just are.
Yeah.
And sometimes just a little plate full of them with some curry mayo on the side, pretty heavenly.
Yeah, or cumin mayo.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Either one. Any of the CU herbs. Yeah. We have culantro, you know.
Yeah. I went to the spice store and I got some new spices, which I love to do. But I love the spice zhug.
Yes.
Z-H-U-G.
Yes.
And it's a little spicy, but it's delicious. Vadivan is delicious. And the way that I use them the most is just what you said, curry mayo. And the recipe, wide world, all seven of you, is mayo and curry. That's the recipe.
That's it.
Yeah. And it's the same thing when you want to make a dip, zhug and mayo or vadivan and mayo.
Yeah. Za'atar is another one.
Yes, yes.
All of those harissa blends.
Yeah, any of those blends. And I haven't tried berber. But I like to say it, berber. And they had a Japanese curry, which I'd never seen before.
Oh.
So I'm going to try that.
I like Japanese curry. I mean, to eat a curry entree, Japanese curry tastes completely different than...
Yeah. So I'm excited. Just never seen that in a store before.
I'm excited, too. But the thing is that we're out of time.
Oh, we'll have to be excited without our seven listeners.
We can be excited individually.
Individually.
I want to say Happy New Year, Linda Perkins, and Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
I'm hoping the best for us.
Yeah.
Get some sunshine. You want to sing us out?
I'm driving my vegetables, I'm driving my green edibles, I'm driving my vegetables around. I am driving my broccoli, I'm driving my cauliflower, driving a bushel of corn home on this new year.
Happy New Year.